from faith to faith in the last days, a harvest of miracles. God wants you to have a harvest of miracles, not just one that's here, there, and everywhere, and somebody else's testimony. He wants you to have a proliferation, an increase of miracles in your life and in my life. And so that's what's really behind this, because we're set apart from this world because we're not just human, as the old song goes. We are miracle-working, miracle-receiving, miracle-giving people. And in order to do that, we've got to understand who we are and how to operate what God has given us. So I want us to pray right now, because I believe that the most important thing that happens in the next few minutes is that in your heart you subscribe to the voice of the Lord and you say, God's speaking something to me, because he is in the process of making me a person who is going to have a harvest of miracles, not just so I will be blessed myself, but so I can be someone who gives miracles away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that is so good, so rich, so wonderful, so powerful, so often opposite to the message of our time, the fear and the anger and the injustice and the poverty and the destitution and the oppression, Lord, that's out there. We know we have the medicine for that. And we pray, Father, as we hear the word of the Lord today, that you will work in us so that we'll become the physicians of our time, with both the message and the means, Lord, to bring life, hope, godliness, and healing to our world. Thank you for being our helper today. Thank you for helping me as we share the word of the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look this morning at Romans chapter 10 and some of our key scriptures. Romans 10:8 says, well, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. The Bible says the word of faith, it's in you. It's in you, it's in me. As a young man, I often thought faith was just kind of out there. And, you know, it was like trying to catch jelly. It was difficult to get a hold of. But God's word says something so important for us, for you and for me in these last days, and that is there is a word in you. It's not just the fact you own a Bible, you hear the Bible, you have the Bible, you've memorized, you have a word of faith in you. It is in you, in your redeemed person, and it's not just in your redeemed person, it is also in your mouth. That's why the next verse says, if you confess, which is another word for speaking, if you speak with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So God says, and in this moment, I want you to understand that there is something inside of you that causes a spiritual transaction to take place that lasts for all eternity. It's not just words. There's something awesomely powerful in it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it's written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. That's the way we should live. We should believe and speak. Believe and speak. Whatever happens, we believe and speak. We believe and speak. And our speaking is in relation to our believing. They are inseparably connected when you are a faith person. You're speaking and you're believing. It's not, oh my God, what are we going to do? Whatever will we do with this set of circumstances? No, no. You believe and you speak. Not you feel and you speak. You believe and you speak. And that's why I told you the story of last week or the week before, the couple who were telling me their trouble. And I said, well, what do you believe? And they said what they believed. And on the basis of what they believed, just like salvation, the healing came and God did an awesome miracle for them. And so he says, with that same spirit of faith, faith resides in your spirit. You are a spirit, and part of the makeup, the DNA of your spirit person, if I can call it that, is faith. You know, if they cut you open with a scalpel, they would find certain parts that are common to every person on the inside. You have a throat, you have a stomach, you have kidneys, you have a heart. Those things are in you. And you don't doubt them. You don't get out of bed and say, oh, I wonder if I've got kidneys today. I better check. No, you know absolutely you have kidneys, because it isn't very long that you travel through the day when your kidneys speak to you. and they talk to you and you respond to them. And so it is in the spiritual sense. You have in your spirit man, your spirit person, you have in your heart a heart of faith. You have faith in you. It's inside you, but it is nevertheless in you. You're not trying to find it, get it, capture it from some other planet, but it is in you. And all of us need to understand how this is to operate. The faith that is in me, how is it to operate? Well, we've just heard just in that scripture alone. Believing and speaking, that's a vital part of it. We'll come back to that. But it's vital for us to recognize that this morning. One woman went to her pastor and she said, she was a married woman. She said, you know, pastor, she said, I'd really love to have a family, but I've been to the doctors and they have told me that I was born without a uterus. And so, therefore, it is not possible for me to have a child. And that pastor said to that woman, he said, if you believe God more than you believe science, get your promise from God's word, and then go out and buy your baby clothes. Make it obvious that you are buying baby clothes, no matter who knows about what. You go and buy your baby clothes based upon another word that is the ultimate word. And so she did. She went out shopping for baby clothes in spite of the science. Several months later, she delivered a healthy baby, even though it contradicted science. So you could say, well, oh yeah, you know, that's something that I don't understand. Well, I'll tell you this. If you spoke to that woman today, she would say, there's cause and effect here. The reality for me, the reality that I was living in, the reality for me, the thing that was real to me was that I had no uterus and I couldn't have a baby. That was my reality. But, she said, I stepped into something that had cause and effect. I grabbed a hold of something that's greater than any human earthly circumstance. She said, I took hold of the word of the Lord. That's the cause. When I believe God's word, that's the cause that produces the effect, the miracle. It is a simple process of believing God and receiving a miracle. That's what she did. She said, well, I'm not going to say that's a phenomenon, one of those lucky things that nobody can explain. It just happens, you know, to some people and not to other people. I just happen to be lucky or blessed or whatever, and sorry, you're not. No, it's a law. The law of faith that we've been talking about. And that's what we see there in Romans 3:27. It says we're justified not by the law of works, but the law of faith. All of us must apply the law of faith and the power of faith in our life journey, because all of us will face circumstances and settings that are not humanly possible to fix. And God expected us to operate on the basis of His word, which is the reference on the wall behind me, which says, nothing shall be impossible for you. So today you need to look at some of the stuff that has plagued you and I and said, you know, for long enough and say, okay, I'm making a marker today. The Bible says nothing. God's word says, God said it. That settles it. I'm speaking it today. Nothing, and that includes this, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, nothing will be impossible for me. I'm going to deal with it. And as we continue to listen to this message, I want to give you some insight and understanding as to exactly how you are to apply this nothing shall be impossible truth, the exercise of your faith to this situation that you are facing. Let's move over to page 5 in your notes there as we look at how God has made you a person of faith. I was reading a great testimony of a 35-year-old woman who was tired all the time, and she didn't understand why she just didn't have any energy. And so she went to the doctors, and they did their research, and they gave her some medicine, but it didn't help. And she just felt listless and just like she had no energy whatsoever. And she just had a sense that this shouldn't be. She was 35, and you know, some people would call that kind of the prime of life. And God gave us the ability to register some discontent with something that is not right. And the ability to register that discontent is to be used by us to motivate us to use our faith, to make a change, not to lie down and say, oh my God, I need to call 10 of my friends so I can commiserate with them and they can say, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know what the deal. Yeah, I had somebody else I knew. They died from that. Now, our ability to register discontent with something is an ability that God has given to us in our new creation identity so that we can move into what is a setting that is consistent with our identity. When he came that we might have life, but be tired all the time. No. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, I'm not believing that my old age, whenever that happens, you know, 100 years from now, is going to be characterized by the things that elderly people normally face. Yes, but Pastor, do you think you're above everybody? No, absolutely not. I don't think I'm above anybody else. But I do think this. God's word says I don't have to submit to the conditions of this world. We have some great Bible examples of people in their old age in which, you know, there's a phrase in the Bible that says, good old age. He passed in good old age. Not he was a decrepit, out of his head, troublesome problem and died. No. In good old age. Moses and Caleb both were phenomenally strong and healthy in their latter years. But you can easily, as you know, I often hear people who are on the other side, well, you know, that's what happens when you get older. You get, you know, a lot less memory and you know, you can't find things and your knees start breaking down and your elbows and, you know, it's just, you know, all kind of stuff. And pretty soon they have developed a whole scenario that is not the Bible. And they basically said to the devil, yeah, that's kind of like how I'm planning on living. I don't think that's you. I don't think that's me. But anyways, this woman, she went to the doctor. They did her research, gave her some stuff that didn't work. Finally, she goes back to the doctor, and they said to her, well, we have finally now, after all of our tests, determined what is wrong with you. What is wrong with you is you have a heartbeat that is too slow. And so we're going to have to put a pacemaker in you. It's most unusual to put a pacemaker in a 35-year-old person, but that's your condition. But before we do that, we want you to go home and come back again in a month, and then we'll decide on the date. During that month, while she waited for the next appointment, she went home and she prayed according to God's word. He heals all my diseases. She prayed. And interestingly enough, cause and effect took place. All of her tiredness and weariness and exhaustion and weakness disappeared, and she became somebody that at 35 was supposed to be a 35-year-old woman getting it done. And she went back to the doctors, and they said, she told them, and they said, well, we'll do some tests. So they did the tests, and they said, yeah, well, it appears that your heart seems to be fine. You just carry on then. What's the point of the message? The point of the message is, here was someone who didn't want to accept a condition she knew she didn't have to accept. And I like what Titus 3 and verse 5 says, that God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And now, I know it's often understood that ungodliness is sin, and that's true, but anything that's not of God is ungodliness. And just as much as you need to say no to lying and no to cheating and no to stealing, you also need to say no to any sickness or condition or lack or whatever it is that is contrary to the blessed life God says He has provided. You got to say no. Sometimes you just have to say no. No. I'm not accepting that. I reject it 100%. And that's the first part of it, to say no. Not say, well, okay, I guess, maybe, that's my lot. That's, you know, just one of these things. You know, lots of people suffer from this. And you know, I hope I can just get by and, you know, maybe I can get something that, well, maybe one of those motor scooters or something, you know, motorized thing. And, you know, by the time you're done, you're done. That's not God's plan. God's plan at all. God has made you and I to be a person of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 in the Authorized Version tells us that God, He says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man and every woman the measure of faith. God has said, okay, I'm going to give every man and every woman the measure of faith. But sometimes you can think, well, yeah, but my faith is defective. No, and nothing God gives you is defective. You may not be operating in faith. You may not be operating with insight and wisdom and understanding in the exercise of faith. But faith itself is from God. So it cannot be defective. So God has made you in your new creation identity as a believer, as a person of faith. Excuse me. As a person of faith. Galatians 3 and verse 11 says this, clearly no one is justified before God by the law. The righteous will live by faith. I like to put it this way. If you're going to live, you've got to live by faith. You can die death by a thousand cuts in your life journey, or you can live by faith. It is a faith life, a faith journey, a faith walk. It's so important to grasp this. I'm a faith person, made to walk a faith walk in this faith life, this faith journey. You see, God does not expect you to live without the resources necessary to comply with the kind of life He intended you to live. He says, the righteous will live by faith. So He's made you a faith person. That's the kind of person that you are. You must say to yourself, I'm a faith person. There's somebody else in your house right now. Look at them and say three times, I'm a faith person. I'm a faith person. I'm a faith person. You're a faith person. You're a faith person. You're a faith person. If you are a believer, you are a faith person. You are a person who lives by faith. You have faith inside of you. That's the way you've been constructed and made. And, you know, oftentimes people's identity is kind of hidden under a whole pile of rubbish. The lies of the devil, the accusations of the evil one. They don't know who they are. But God's trying to tell you today that part of your identity is that you are a faith person. That's who you are. You're not a, I hope so, I win some, I lose some sort of person. If I'm lucky, I'm lucky sort of person. No, you are a faith person. A faith capable, faith operating person. You've been given a new heart, and that is a heart to believe. It's not just a cleansed heart, but it's a heart that has a divinely enabled capacity. What is the capacity of your heart? What's the ability of your heart? Your natural heart has the ability to pump blood throughout your body and then back in the other side, back out, back in, back out. And if your heart doesn't pump blood, you're dead. And so it is with your spiritual heart. It pumps faith. It pumps faith. And I want you to understand, and I want us all to both understand and operate a heart of faith. And I want us to grasp this more than you ever have in your life journey. How does my heart of faith pump faith throughout my life, back into my life, out to others and back? How does it operate if you are a faith person? From the moment that you gave your life to Christ, you got this faith operating capacity. And that's why it's so important to realize the significance of something right in the birthday of the church when Peter was preaching and he and John decided to go to the temple, as we referenced last week. He said something that all of us need to say. He said to the man, the lame man who needed a miracle, he said to him a faith-based statement. He said, I don't have any money on me today. That's my take on that part. Silver and gold I don't have right now. But what I have, what do you have? Well, Pastor, I don't have a track record. You know, I've never done any miracles, or not very many, and not any great miracles. In fact, I haven't really seen very many great. What do you have? Stop talking about what you don't think you have. Operate on the basis of the truth, which is God's Word. He has dealt to me faith. And He said, nothing will be impossible for me. So therefore, I have what God says I have. I got to shut down all the other lies and accusations and rehearsals of negative things that come into my mind and say, I am a faith person. So I have a job. I have a business that's flourishing. I have health. I have strength. I have opportunity. I have education. I have excellence. I have what God's Word says I have. That's who I am. And you know, Peter takes this and he says, what I have, I give you. That's a simple little statement. If somebody said to you, do you have a pound, and you had a pound in your pocket? You say, yeah, I have it. Okay, can I have it? Yeah. So you say, yeah, you know, what I have, I'll give you. So you reach in your pocket, 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 and you take out what you have and you give it. That's what Peter was doing in a spiritual sense. He says, what I have, I give you. God expects me and he expects you to give what we have. I'm not talking about money. He does expect us to do that. But he expects us to give what we have. You know, sometimes people think, well, I didn't get much education. I don't have much money. I don't really have anything. And the devil comes and he repeats that to them and he says, yeah, that's right. You're a nothing and a nobody, a weak, inadequate failure. You'll never amount to much. And so don't get to thinking that, you know, there's any wonderful, miraculous thing. You know, God does things so opposite. He says to the prophet, go to Zarephath and during the time of famine, during the time of pandemic and COVID-19, go to that town there, Zarephath, and I've got a widow woman there to look after you. And the prophet, he's used to obeying, so he goes. He goes. He goes. And he says to the woman, while you're at it, fix me some food. And she says, she referenced what she believed at that moment she had. It's easy to do. It's easy to do when you go by your feelings and not by the truth, not by what you believe, but by what you feel and what you see with natural eyes. It's easy to reference your possession on a faulty basis. But he said, you do it. And the moment that she inside, before she put one foot in front of the other, said, yes, I'm going to obey the word of the Lord that's come through the prophet. Faith comes by hearing. The moment she said, I'm going to obey, something happened. Something happened in the realm of the supernatural and the spiritual realm. She was operating in faith. And you know, it's so important for us to recognize that must be our approach, is that we are to say, I have what you need. I have what you need. If you're sick, I have what you need. So I'm gonna give away to you what Peter gave to the lame man. So this scenario is in the Bible. Why? Just so we have a nice little story. Sorry, it's a great story. Yeah, Peter and John, Sunday school, great, wonderful. No, it's a Bible lesson that is to be a part of our whole life journey. That when you're wherever without a church building, you're going to say, God has what we need, and therefore we have what we need. We give thanks today for the church there that is pastored, Deeper Fellowship Church in Orlando, that they have persevered in believing that God had, when he said it is finished, it's had. God had provided a building for them. And this last week, that building manifested to them. That's the faith journey that we're on as a congregation and in many other ways. But individually, we have what we need. And so it's vital for us to look at that story and say, okay, that's how God wants me to respond. Whenever I see something that humanity and science and money can't fix, I know that I have what that person needs. I have it. I have it. It's just like the woman who went to her pastor and she said, I can't have a baby. She said, oh, I have what you need. Here's the word of the Lord. Boom. She has a child. It's a different realm, and we got to educate ourselves to this realm. And I want us to understand, how do you educate? You know, we go to so many years of education so we can prepare for life, and we think that's very important, and governments now are worried that children are going to be intellectually and educationally impoverished because they've missed 4 months of school and the delays and all the stuff that's going on, because, and so they won't do well in life because they don't get it. You don't do well in life because you don't get as educated in the things of heaven. In the things of heaven. We get more educated in the things of heaven. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. We will do well. We will continue to do well. And you know, faith is something that operates through us and in us and through us as we learn to deliver to those places of need that are in front of us, but it's also operating in those who are on the receiving end. And this is also a part of that great story in Acts 3 and verse 6. Acts 3 and verse 6, where Peter says, so I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Now, Peter was operating in faith. He wasn't a surgeon saying, yeah, okay, I'll schedule you in next week and we'll sort out your lameness. No, he says, I've got something in this instance I'm going to give you through a non-conventional means. In fact, it's going to come from a heart of faith, through powerful words of faith, words that are carriers of divine energy that go and create justice, create healing and wholeness and soundness. Those are the words that I carry. And those words are going to bring justice to your physical body. So that's Peter's operation of faith. The lame man, he also is to be a person of faith. He has received the word of faith. He must now be a person of faith. He must be a person of faith by receiving the word of faith. See, here's often the challenge, is that when God's word comes to someone, it comes in contradiction to circumstances that are humanly impossible. Humanly impossible. I have ministered to many people who've said to me, but I can't do that. Or the doctor said I shouldn't do that or can't do that. Or, you know, the economy is such or whatever it is. So God comes with His Word, and His Word is so powerful. His Word is so powerful. It's so powerful, the Bible tells us in Genesis that God said, and the galaxies, the heavens and the earth were created. That's how powerful His Word is. His Word is powerful in your life today. That layman could have said, well, you know, I never have walked. You're telling me walk. You're telling me rise up and walk. If I could have risen up and walk, I would have done that a long time ago. What do you think? I am dumb? I'm stupid? What kind of idiot do you take me for? You know? And he'd still been sitting there. But he said, no. Leave me alone. Don't give me that trash. No. He'd still be there. And so part of the powerful lesson is whether you're on the giving end like Peter or the receiving end like the lame man, your heart of faith is meant to operate. And see, you say, when I hear the word of the Lord, I'm already saying yes to it. I receive what you're saying. Whatever obedience I need to do, I agree. You say, do you have any idea what really happened there, Pastor? Well, here's my theory based upon God's word. The moment he said inside himself, I am going to take hold of Peter's hand and stand up. In that moment, I believe strength flowed into his body and he began to walk for the very first time. So, I want to encourage you today to reaffirm that you are a faith person. You are a faith person. You have faith inside of you, faith that produces the miraculous. That's the kind of person that you are. And that faith operates on the basis of law. And because it operates on the basis of law, it'll operate the same every time if those conditions are met. As we close today, I want you to begin to speak what you believe. Not your history, not your doctor's report, not your bank account. I want you to speak out of the person that God has made you to be. Say, Pastor, I need a creative miracle. Well, create one then. Create one. Yeah, but I've never done that. Well, there's always a first time. There's always a first time. And that's God's message to you today. I want you to step into a first time experience with your faith. That's who I made you to be. I paid such a price for you to be who I made you to be. And not to just wither and die through the course of life's journey, a victim to anything and everything that comes your way. Let us pray. Father, we will ever be praising you and glorifying your name that you've made us faith people. And because we're faith people and nothing is impossible for us, Lord, we ask you to encourage us by the Holy Spirit to go where we've never gone and to begin to step more into the miraculous than ever before. To speak to all of those issues, what we believe, what we have heard from your word and from your spirit. Begin to be who you made us to be. Thank you for being our helper this week. Thank you for blessings that arrive at our address. Thank you for health that springs into our body and the bodies of others. Thank you for the rescue that comes to others because we spoke. We didn't plead. We didn't beg. We didn't hope and desire alone, but we spoke words of faith. We gave what we have, and that's awesome miracle power through words of faith. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name, amen. Let me encourage you this week to continue. I have a copy here of the book I encourage you to get a hold of called The Power of Your Words by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. It is still available on Amazon. But get this, read it aloud if you can. If you're by yourself, still read it aloud so that your words are going out and coming back in your ear. It's a lot of scripture in it as well. And you will find it. It's both insightful, encouraging, and faith-building. The Power of Your Words. God bless you. Have an awesome week with Jesus.